Today's date is May 7th, 1993. I have the distinct pleasure of informing you that in finer video stores around the world, you will be able to find and rent Shoot Fighter, Fight to the Death.
What?
Which is a movie that somehow, believe it or not, did not make up the totally insane term shoot fighting, which is not a fight that involves shooting.
Sure.
It just means a no holds barred underground fight to the death. So that's what the movie's about, and that's why they had to clarify with the title. It's Shoot Fighter, Fight to the Death. Okay? Let's make the stakes very high right up top.
It's saying you can't shoot, or it's just that's not the main thing you can do.
I believe you're not supposed to use weapons that aren't your body, but given that I am here talking to you today, I have not personally engaged in a shoot fight, so I can't 100% guarantee for all of them what the rules are. This one stars Mariam Dabo, who's one of the Timothy Dalton Bond girls. It also stars Olo Young, who's a martial arts legend who you may recognize from the field of martial artists because he's built like a fucking gorilla. He's a gigantic man. And when he fights Bruce Lee, when he fights Jean-Claude Van Damme, he's a lot bigger than them. And that's why those movies are fun to watch.
I'm just trying to figure out what defines a finer video store.
If it has Shoot Fighter. If
what's
it doesn't have it, don't go. It also stars, in 1993, young William Zabka, who you may know as Johnny fucking Lawrence from The Karate Kid and Cobra Kai. The blonde guy doesn't want to do the fight. He's got a heart of gold, even though he's a bad guy.
Didn't ever know their name. I feel bad.
And this one has got a fight to the death. I promise you, in addition to this being just a fun thing to know about, and just like I personally found out that this movie existed recently and was very excited to see that the timing lined up, this has something to do with the episode that we're going to be talking about today.
Oh, no.
Maybe. I think it does. And we'll find out all together.
We'll see about that.
Yeah. Yeah, give it to me. Welcome to Jumping the Shuttle, the show where we talk about Bolo Young and how that's not his name. His name is Youngsa, and because Enter the Dragon was so big, everyone just started calling him by his character name, which is Bolo. So he just officially got his like working name changed to Bolo Young just to go with it. And I'll go ahead and stop him being my background, even though it is so nice to just stare at the deep depths of his pecs. I'm Alex Diamond, and joining me today, John McDaniel. And that is your stage name because of why? Can you tell us the story of that?
Well, all the world's a stage, really, isn't it? And so when you look at it that way, you know, that was the name that was written for me. I don't know. I don't care. That's all I got.
That's all you get.
I cede my time.
And David John Duke Wayne Kenny.
Yep. I like to amass as many first names as I can. You gotta, there's no amount that is enough for me to have first names.
Right. You have two that people call you by, and then there's another one that I guess we probably shouldn't say for like tax reasons or something. But yeah. You can always add
more. There are gamers, but there are also namers. And David is what we like to call a namer. He's hardcore into just collecting all the names he can.
Yeah, it's like little achievements. Like you get every time I kill somebody, I take their name, and that goes into my soul bag.
It's a little achievement, but it's a large stack of fucking paperwork. I can't imagine it's easy to legally change your name daily. So.
It's worth it for the grind, baby.
You got to do it for the gram. Just showing pictures over and over again of your government documents. That's a. Everyone's gonna follow you.
Oh fuck! Yeah, Graham, I got to get a tax extension.
Graham is dead. Rest in peace to the Graham.
Oh yeah, they fucked up. Done. They paid Congress a bunch of money to try to get rid of their competition, and then when the competition found out, they were like, "Hey, you can delete Instagram," and everybody was like, "Oh yeah, okay, we will." Today we're talking about 2023 things, I guess. Even though we're talking about 1993, Family Matters, episode 95, season 4, episode 23, entitled "Stormy Weather," which is not what this episode is really about.
It's yeah, no, you were freaking me out there for a minute because I didn't pay attention to the name of the episode.
I know,
what a surprise. And you freaked me out there. I was like, there's no mention of weather of any kind in this episode. So
it for a show that
I watched the wrong one
that struck its arguable main character three times with lightning in one episode. You're going to say that this is the stormy weather episode?
Well, you know, getting struck by lightning is fairly common.
I mean, we found that out.
What, 46% of people? Or I don't even know what it is anymore. According to all those Pixar characters, it's fine. We start off this episode at school, Vanderbilt High, where some kids are working on the decorations for the Vanderbilt Junior Prom, which I don't know if it's biased because it was the only one I personally experienced, but the way our high school did prom, where you had it at an external location, you don't just come to school again on a fucking Friday night or whatever. And like, it's all just let professionals decorate it. The tickets can be overpriced. They're going to be anyway. I don't ever want to paint a banner for prom because it's not going to turn out the way you want it to. But it's always in TV. They have the kids doing it when they're prepping for a dance of some kind.
Also, what's the distinction here between junior and senior prom? Did we have those too?
No, that's another good point.
No, it was just if you were junior or senior, you went to prom. Or in my case, I said fuck that, and I didn't go my junior year.
And I also fine. Failed.
And if you're younger, but you're dating somebody who's a junior or senior, you can also still go to prom. Like it's pretty loose rules there.
Yep, that's how you do it.
I don't think it is.
It's a little life hack, you know? Get to go to prom all 4 years.
The rules of this prom as well, I think, are a little loose. Because I think, like, the people that are in here, they're not all in the same grade. Yep. They don't graduate at the same time. So, all right,
well,
whatever.
With Waldo, you never know.
True. I am ready, though, to know about this man that as soon as I saw him, I made a prediction.
Predictions!
That we will never see Jimmy again.
Really?
I think we're done with Jim.
I'm going to go ahead and give you a prediction. Predictions!
Oh, okay. Are we doing this? Just the opposite predictions again?
Maybe see Jimmy.
Okay, that's not a prediction. Maybe. Then you have to at least have the strength of your
that's
convictions.
That's my prediction. Usually,
usually that's maybe my prediction. Sometimes
prediction.
Predictions.
No. I already know it's wrong.
Something will happen. Something will happen.
That's not. Oftentimes, that's not the case on this show. You're in dangerous territory.
I predict that Jimmy will not be with Laura in the episodes we've already seen.
Great. Okay. Sure. I predict that you're an idiot. Jimmy, this guy who's here helping out with prom construction, is played by Ross Leon. He's on lots of shows for one episode, including The Wayans Brothers, where he played Daryl, and Martin, where he played Darcel or Darcel. Oh. Either way, it's not, I don't have to know. It's not a name. He is from Georgia. And if it seems like he's way too much of a grown ass man to be going to a junior prom, that's because he is. This individual is not only like in his 20s, he's done a full tour in the U.S. Army before he started acting.
Whoa, the Adam Driver route.
Adam Driver was in the military.
Oh, yeah, it was a big thing. He like started a theater company for veterans or something.
Shit, I didn't. How come I didn't know about this?
You got to get deep in the Daddy Driver lore. Like, that's me. Right. You got to get real
that's,
deep in it.
That's some good soup.
if you want to get deep, I may have told this on the podcast before, even though it's a story I heard from another podcast where it was one of the guys on that show went to Juilliard with Adam Driver, and like they don't know each other super well, but like they would see each other around. They were in stuff together or whatever. And he said Adam Driver every day was walking around campus. He would bring his own lunch, and what it was a gallon of water. He would just be walking around with a gallon jug of water and half of a baked chicken.
Love it.
Every day.
Love a rotis. I love a rotis.
So all of that is to say this is a little creepy because Laura, both as a character and an actor in this, is around 16. And this is a big man. And they do almost kiss right here, but Waldo interrupts so we don't have to like have that weirdness from the newspaper episode. Thanks, as always, to Waldo for what he brings to the show. He gets in their faces while they're trying to have a smooch fest in the middle of the whatever cafeteria, maybe, but it doesn't look like the cafeteria. I don't know. When he asks, how come there's no Leaning Tower of Pizza? It's a classic 90s joke. They kind of did it in Goofy Movie.
I'm with Waldo on that, you know. How come there is? It seems like a no-brainer to me.
If they had pizza at prom, it would have greatly improved my prom experience. I can guarantee you that.
Well, that all depends. If it was like Cece's Pizza, not so much. that wouldn't improve. That would not only not improve your prom experience, that might end your life if you have too much of it. So,
for like the first 20 minutes, you enjoy Cece's Pizza, and then depending on how fast you can run to the bathroom, you may have to not be able to return that tux tomorrow, and it's a tux for all days because you gotta buy it.
Okay, I'll give Cece's Pizza about 3 minutes of enjoyment. I'll give Mr. Gaddy's about 30 seconds of enjoyment
you
there.
Take that back, all right, well, son of a bitch.
My wife just tuned out. She can't hear that slander. Although, I mean, he's right. He's right. So the reason that there's no Leaning Tower of Pizza or Pisa is because the theme for prom is Paris in springtime, and the Leaning Tower of Pisa is in Italy, so they can't do it that way. But Waldo, he's not going to let that stand in his way. He says, just change it. The theme should be Paris in Italy. Work with me, people.
Also, that's good.
It's very good.
It's always good. But Paris in springtime, that's very specific. That's a very narrow, you know, kind of window you got to hit there with that theme.
It is a song, so I kind of give them that. Like, it's, you know, like a musical song, but also highly specific.
Oh, actually, what I meant to say was it's a song. I bet you guys didn't know that.
Steve comes in with a giant silver box that has a giant funnel attached to one side. Jimmy calls him Steve Jerkle, and even Steve is like, buddy,
come on,
I fucking heard it. All right,
we can do better than this.
Come on.
Yeah, and it doesn't really align with Jimmy's, well, I mean, Jimmy just is calling him a nerd this whole time. Mm-hmm. So Steve Jerkle and calling him a nerd, those don't, you know what I mean?
Steve Nerdle doesn't really roll off the
tongue. Jimmy's got a, he's got to figure out what his brand, what the branding is. He's a little confused on what he wants Steve's brand to be. You know, he's got to make a decision right now. They're not synced up.
Not synergy.
There's not synergy happening there.
Yeah, I knew you were going there. I know what you're doing. It is like, I know they're so committed to calling him a nerd on the show. Like, that's part like show Bible or something, because they do it so consistently. But Steve Dorkel is right there. You can just have it. Jimmy says the turbo confetti cannon, which is what this is, looks stupid. And Urkel with a... maybe an all-timer comeback, because usually he does not have them ready in his pocket. But he says, no, no, it's shiny. What you see is your reflection.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. I don't ever want to root for Urkel, but he got me this time. Of course, he ruins it by demonstrating the confetti cannon. He's like, painting a picture of the final song of the evening, romance in the air, along with a gentle poof of confetti, except it's a ka-toosh of confetti that all the way knocks Jimmy backwards and down and knocks some paint on top of him. And we get multiple angles of this. They really wanted to get it right. And of course, we get our final season 4, did I do that opportunity here? Except it's not the final one for this episode. I don't mean to ruin it for you, but.
Yeah, what the? I haven't watched it yet. What are you doing?
John, I don't ask much.
But also, like, of course implies that, like, we always get it. We don't always get that. That's been the problem backwards.
I have to believe that the holy macanoli of it all is behind us. I have to believe that we are headed toward a more super saturated did I do that era. And in fact, when I was watching this episode, I rarely watch it.
It's just him doing it all the time.
Oh, he says it 8 times.
I rarely watch the show where my wife can see. I don't want her to know what I'm doing and getting up to. All right. But this time she saw
You've been keeping this a secret for 3 years.
For 3 years.
Just been disappearing into a closet for a couple hours every Saturday without telling her.
Sorry, I got a film school project. I got to record some narration in here. But you graduated like from college like a billion years ago. What are you?
Not clown college, baby.
I gotta get them credits.
Going for that higher education. Going for that education plus.
Oh, girl, gross. Subscription to keep your diploma month to month.
That would be diabolical. That would be so fucked up. Universities just start rolling out a subscription program.
I mean,
hey, if you want to keep your proof that you graduated, you got to pay us $10 a month.
We're not far away from that. That's coming.
No, 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 no.
She saw Steve in this episode on my laptop screen and was like, that's the one I know. Like, that's when I was watching. I think this is, like, maybe the classic Steve era is, like, early to mid-teens years on the show.
I think we're a little bit of ways from it still.
Maybe,
I think we're getting there. I think maybe towards the beginning of the season.
Okay, yeah.
We might get there. I feel like we're entering the Steve zone. We're getting close. Because I feel like at least the first season, right? They're like figuring him out. Second season,
they start to
get a little bit of a straw. I don't know. I feel like we're getting there, but we're not quite there yet. He looks younger for sure.
Yeah, he really does. He
definitely looks younger, but he still is having to manipulate his voice. it's a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like the changes we're about to see on a bunch of characters are going to be rapid because they're all teenagers and like just immediately their bodies are going to be just crumpling in on themselves, just interstellaring down black hole crumpling. As they shrink. Except for Mother Winslow. Maybe she'll get a little taller. Who knows?
That's
look, that's what happens. Last time when I went to move my grandma, she was more of a candy cane shape than I usually see her. That's just what happens when you're older.
Get that shrimp body.
Jimmy chases the shrimp Urkel out of the room. He's that's his style, because everybody's got a different approach and response to this stuff, and he's one of the ones that chases him all the way out. Credits, much as last week, still jarring and confusing to me. I did watch it all again this week just to make sure it wasn't a dream. In the living room, Harriet is explaining to Carl and Mother Winslow that she and Laura hit up every store in the mall to find the perfect prom dress. And I could have saved them both a lot of time by saying, just try the ones with dresses. Because I don't think the Spencer's is what you need. I don't think you're going to find a good prom dress at Sharper Image.
Gosh. What would that one even be? It's got
like, I give you a massage.
LED lights and cup holders. And
it's got a recliner.
Well, I would argue most dresses have cup holders already built into them. But
Okay. All right.
So she announces Laura down the stairs in a teal shoulderless dress. And also, because my wife was watching over my shoulder, she insisted that I mention that Laura is wearing bumpets throughout this episode.
Oh!
Which did not escape me, but I guess it is, like, it's important to note for, like, the time period and stuff. Like, if you go back and you watch the infomercial, like, we're in that time right now. Mm-hmm. Although I think this is, like, a slightly ahead of the curve thing. I don't know.
Well, maybe it did. Maybe they did get it at Sharper Image then, if it was ahead of the curve a little bit, you know?
It's rounder image for sure on the top of her head. The commercial, I did look it up. It says they come in all varieties. Sexy, elegant, casual, sassy, flirty, and fabulous.
Wow.
And see, there's some, I feel like there's some crossover with those there.
Got some overlap.
You know, I don't know. Casual is the one that I don't know what that is.
Right. I mean, it's hard to tell, like, is the model wearing jeans in this? I'm only seeing her from the neck up when they're doing flashing the different styles. The commercial also says that they're perfect for prom. So they know their audience, the Lauras of the world. Carl says, you look like $1 million. And Laura says, you're close. And you know what's coming now.
Oh, boy.
He walked right into it.
You got to loosen those neck joints because he's got a bubble all over this bad boy.
He did this one to himself.
I did like most of this exchange because Harriet says, you can't put a price on quality. And Carl goes, the store did. Turns out this dress was 387 big ones. $387 dollarinis. I don't know if that's before or after tax. Weird price, regardless. And Carl almost has a heart attack and needs to be resuscitated on the floor from his cop office bag equipment.
This adjusted for inflation is $809.
Yeah, that's around what I would have guessed, because it's about double at this time.
That's fucking crazy.
For a prom dress, I would love to believe that that is true, but I definitely and know some people who know some people who have paid more than that for a prom dress.
This whole wedding industrial complex we got in this country, we gotta get it. It's too much money for something you're only gonna wear one time. What are we doing? They're taking advantage of you.
There's a sketch show called Manstroke Woman, a British comedy show that has Nick Frost on it, and amongst a bunch of other people that you would recognize because they've been in other stuff. One of them is like a weirdly important character on Game of Thrones later, and it was very hard to take him seriously for me. But one of the recurring sketches is a couple going to places, buying stuff for their wedding, but the husband trying to keep the wife from saying it's for a wedding, because as soon as they do, whatever it is, whether it's a dress, whether it's a cake, whether it's flowers, whatever, the person goes, oh, it's a wedding cake that, oh, I can't show you this one, please let me, and they take the thing back and they bring out the exact same thing, but it's worth like 40% more all of a sudden. That's true. That's how they, that's how you do it. That's how they do it. Carl, though, he's like, she can just not go to prom. There's literally no way. Yeah, this is like way more than their mortgage. Do you remember when we looked up what their mortgage would be from that guy it on TikTok? It was like absurd. So Harriet's like, there is a backup that's $150. He's like, yeah, give it to me. And Laura comes down in that. It's certainly less fabric, so you're paying less for it for that reason, I guess. And Carl loves it, even though he admits that it is more revealing. But he's just so, he's got green tinted glasses on. He leaves the room very pleased with himself and says, nothing's too good for my baby. And turns out,
well, unless it's the one that's more expensive.
That's too good for you.
Nothing that's $150 is too good when compared to $387, because this is the dress she wanted the whole time, but she lied about it.
Did y'all see this coming? I sure didn't.
I didn't, no.
It was genius.
I felt like there was some kind of scam being run, but I couldn't figure out what it was. Like, I couldn't figure out if they were like inflating the prices or deflating them or what, but they did kind of get me as well. Of, it turns out that the more expensive dress basically never existed. It's Aunt Rachel's dress, so it was not ever $387. They just wanted to ease Carl into accepting the $150 dress, so they made up this whole extra thing. And maybe my favorite part of this whole thing is how much Mother Winslow loves that they scammed her stupid son. She is giggling and high-fiving both of these ladies, because she's been waiting
for decades to get one over on him.
It's like, now you know, you've been dealing with this piece of shit. I had to have him for 20 years. Now you've had him for 20 years, and everyone knows he sucks. Cut straight to mayonnaise as two boys,
oh my god,
are in the kitchen slapping some Sammies together, sub style. You know how Carl, the good stuff.
You led me right to it.
Okay. Uh-oh.
We have a massive mayo time sandwich crime happening on screen right now. Look, I am a fan of mayo, but this is...
I'm very, like, lukewarm. What is happening here? This isn't right.
This is not right. This is too much mayo. It's absurd what is happening in this scene. If you're watching this, you gotta yell cut and have them build some other parts of the sandwich. Is what we see happening in this, for the majority of this scene, is Eddie and Waldo making basically a mayo sandwich. They just keep slathering the mayo on the bread, and there is almost no end to it. It's crazy.
The phone call scene in Napoleon Dynamite, where his brother Kip is just shredding cheese on top of the nachos, but like every time it cuts back to him, he's still shredding. He hasn't changed, and there's just a mountain by the end of it. That is kind of where we end up on this sandwich by the end of the scene.
Yeah, and it's, I can't tell on Waldo. See, Waldo's using regular bread, I think, and Eddie's got the fancy subreddit. I can't, they don't ever cut, we don't see Waldo at the beginning of the scene.
Mm-mm.
But we know for sure that Eddie's sandwich already has a sizable amount of mayo on it before we even see him start slathering more on there. It's like, it was enough before the scene even started. And I think Waldo's probably had some too.
Is it a prank on the part of the actors? Like, is it, no one would eat this. I know that the movie Undercover Brother is not factual to a lot of aspects of real life, but my understanding from that movie is that you have to be a white person to like mayonnaise on things.
Yeah.
And I don't think Bill Gates puts this much mayonnaise on his sandwiches.
It took me out of the scene so much that I scrubbed it back 3 or 4 times, and I used the timer, and I timed out how long they're fucking going at this for. All right, so here we go. I did not stop and start every time they're putting mayonnaise on the bread.
Okay.
This is from the time we first see him put knife to bread till when Eddie actually finally puts the mayo knife down and moves on to putting
down,
something else
sir.
On the sandwich.
Drop
and
it. This is a pre-mayonnaise sandwich, just so we're all
right.
caught
it
up.
Started
yes,
with
exactly.
A base layer.
Important context, there is already enough mayo
right.
on this sandwich.
This is
he
the
could
top
have been
coat.
Done at the beginning of the scene. He could have been done already. So he's at this for 1 minute and 6 seconds.
Oh my God.
That is absurd. 1 minute and 6 seconds of mayo is too much. On average, how much you, what do you think? Like, I don't know, 10 seconds?
15 tops.
Oh, 15 yeah, God.
Tops.
If you got the squeeze bottle, two.
But we'll go with 15, right? We'll give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. That's still
he made
that's
three
over
sandwiches.
Four sandwiches.
Yeah. It's longer
that's
than
insane.
We hear any of the songs that they dance to later in this episode.
And I thought, you know, Waldo seems like he's doing a little better, but not much better, because I timed his out as well, and he's at 54 seconds.
Wow.
He's not that far behind.
We found John's button. Know? I didn't know that we would be able to push him to this point. I didn't know it was going to be mayo, but now we know.
And I think Waldo's a little better. I mean, it makes sense. He's a better sandwich maker because mm-hmm. we find out he goes on to be a chef.
Yeah.
And it makes sense because he's actually trying to make like a sandwich that's edible. I don't know what Eddie is doing, because I think after he puts the mayo on, he puts some lettuce on there and
no
like,
meat.
Bro, you get where's the meat? Usually for me anyway, it's condiments, then meat, then lettuce and tomato.
It's a mayo sandwich.
It's just
it's
a
mess.
Lettuce sandwich like Waldo, you know, I see him put the mustard on.
Yes,
he
right.
gets into the meats. What a disaster.
Eddie's distracted.
What a disaster.
Because he's got a big date with Gloria Hilton, who everyone knows is fly, but she's kind of a flirt. And Eddie's like, no problem. She's used to flirting with boys. Now she's going out with a man. And Waldo goes, make up your mind. Is she going out with you or a man?
This is an all-time Waldo scene. To mayo aside, this is prime Waldo.
Aside. Well, it
look, you can't put the mayo aside. It is front and center. It is the mayo is the main character of this scene.
But like you said, he's showing proper judgment. He at least mixes it up, because I noted the mustard as well. Like it is distinct that Eddie has one thing on his mind and his bread through this whole thing.
I gotta go back and watch this again. This is fun.
Waldo confirms that he's
when it's
taking
the amount of just one more thing. We'll move on. The amount of mayo that is on the knife.
Oh God.
Oh yeah, it's a
use
big
a
scoop.
Spoon at that point.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
you got to get a little extra so you can take a bump off the end.
What do you mean? Like just Well, like lick it off the knife?
Right to the dome, baby.
You gotta, are you psycho?
You got to get it into the membranes. Right. That's how you really absorb it.
Oh, my God. But you should be getting like smaller scoops as you go, not consistently massive scoops.
Maybe this is yogurt. Anyway. We don't know. He could be making any kind of sandwich he wants.
A Greek yogurt smoothie.
All right, take it back.
Sandwich.
Shouldn't have done it. Waldo confirms he is taking Max to the prom, which it makes me think that like maybe them dating hasn't been a thing for that long, and he was just introduced more as Eddie's friend first. I don't know. Although, speaking of all timelines, when Eddie asks, "Are you going to the prom together?" he says, "Is the bear Catholic?" Just perfect, perfect, incredible. Every line from him is a home run, even when you think it isn't at the end.
Yep.
Eddie says, "How are things with Maxine?" And Waldo says,
"Not good. Her dog has worms."
And Eddie says, "No, how are things between the two of you?"
"Fine. I'm not going to stop petting him just because he has worms."
Boom.
Got him.
Eddie, at this point, like takes a walk. Like he takes a moment to like recenter himself and decide whether or not it's worth it to say anything. But he has to, because he needs to get everything clear with Waldo about Weasel taking Quesadilla to the prom.
I could not believe that A, they did this twice, and B, they remembered it so much later.
Crazy.
They don't remember anything. They don't remember how long Harriet and Carl have been married. But of course, you gotta remember. You can't forget.
And is this the origin of it, too? Like, I think we'll see some more Waldo has a weird family stuff going forward. But this particular piece of them being named after like Tex-Mex dishes, Eddie's like, "Okay, I know we've said it. Why is your sister's name Quesadilla? Please help me here." And Waldo's like, "She was born in Taco Bell." So
just all time shit.
What did it say? It was either quesadilla or some sort of burrito
right? Grande.
Yep.
obviously, you gotta name her cheesy gordita crunch. I mean, if we're being honest,
I don't think that was that a thing though. Let's, yeah, now you would.
Let's do the research and report back next week, because I don't think that was on the menu yet in the 90s.
I would have said cinnamon twist is
from Taco Bell in the 90s. All I remember are those Star Wars toys. That's all I remember from Taco Bell in the 90s.
I still have my terrible American Godzilla movie tie-in toys from Taco Bell in the 90s. Because it was a little jet and a toy that shot little discs out of it. That's a good toy. They don't do good toys in Happy Meals anymore.
They don't make them like they used to, am I right? Also, if you're born in Taco Bell, you better be getting like free Taco Bell for life.
Yeah.
They just dump out that whole fishbowl full of coins on top of you and say, "You get to keep this one, even though you didn't make it." Eddie almost redeems Mayo Gate here by doing an impression of Weasel hitting on Waldo's sister. It's fucking good.
Very good.
It's really good.
It's really good. Like,
yeah, maybe he needed that mayo as fuel it was the energy he needed for this.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me eggs that I desire. It does like make clear to me how much of a character Weasel is. Like, this is not this is a series of choices. This was not a casual character to just like hit a little bit. It's very intentional. The body language, the delivery, the types of things that he says. And Waldo is suddenly worried about Quesadilla and how much sour cream is going to be on her after he's been watching this sandwich.
Come on.
So Waldo will be on Weasel like ketchup on spaghetti. Which I was like, oh, you guys really let me down here at the end. This, like, Waldo's been doing so good. And then after a little bit of a stare, totally redeems himself.
Yep.
He just looks up at Eddie and goes, my mom's a lousy cook. Perfect. Literally perfect. And that makes clear why he knows how to make a good sandwich here and why he has to be a good cook in the rest of his life, because his mom fucking sucks at it.
He's fucking making quesadillas for quesadillas at home.
That's right.
So I guess you can be what you eat after all.
That's what it was. It's not that Urkel dresses up like the food that he's going to eat. It's right. The quesadilla only eats quesadillas.
You have to embody. It's a lifestyle at that point. In the living room, Laura is on the couch, has to be reading. Contractually, that's what she does now. And Steve comes in with an alliteration alley.
Who reads? What is this reading, you know?
What is
this? They should be sort of paying attention to the TV while they've got their phone out with the iPad out while they're looking at a text on their watch, you know?
Makes sense to me. It seems like a great system that we've worked up for ourselves now.
And then you realize you should have been paying attention to the show, so you got to scrub back and figure out what plot point you missed.
Missed all that mayo. You got to go back and take another look.
Right. You can't do it. He calls her a bodacious bookworm, and she's like, I'm not going to go to prom with you. And he's like, that's not what I'm here for. And she's like, I don't believe you. But he's actually here to get advice on asking Myra to prom. And Laura says Myra liking Steve proves there's a God. So just, you know, very religious top to bottom in this future relationship. They're going to get along great. He's worried because Myra doesn't know that around Vanderbilt, Steve's got a little bit of a reputation as a nerd.
No.
Literally, how could she not? Like, that's the stuff she likes about him, right?
I don't know what she likes about him, to be honest.
Fair. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think that's other... Well, that's... I think it's like she likes him because he's into more niche
bugs.
Things, shall we say.
Yeah.
But I don't think she puts the... You know, she's not the one putting the label of nerd on Steve. That's other people. I think that's a very negative, mean label.
Certainly at this time.
A lot of negative connotations. So I think if she doesn't go there, she just is not realizing the perception that people at Vanderbilt have of Steve.
Yeah. Well, she finds out. And why?
Is my assessment, I don't know, is my assessment too... Are there too many layers to my assessment?
I mean, I think that's what they're saying.
And the hand gestures help.
I'm holding
for
a
me.
Pen while I'm talking, so I, you know, I think when you hold a pen as you're trying to make a point, it
unless you're pointing you to know, things with a weenie, like, I can't pay attention to what you're saying.
But as long as you're holding a pen while you're saying something, you're always right. I think is how it works.
I'm going to just hold white out while I'm talking from now on so I can just delete every time I say something really heinous that people shouldn't be hearing about. Steve goes to leave. She stops him to say she kind of misses him asking her out, and he admits he misses her saying no to him. So they do the thing where he does it. He said, will you go to prom? She says no. And they both feel good for 2 seconds because Jimmy's home.
Wait, Jimmy, are you saying that Jimmy lives here?
I don't know, man. I'm so confused about this character and what his expectations are for like how the world works and who can be places.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he doesn't have all the right views and all the right places.
Right. He physically removes Urkel from the premises and then almost immediately removes himself from the premises, too, because he can't concentrate on his studies because he's so mad because every time Laura hangs out with Steve, it makes Jimmy look bad. The flowchart here does not flow the way he thinks it does.
Nobody knows that they're studying together, right? There's no studio audience watching here that has to tell everyone else.
Yeah, and you know they're not broadcasting what there's no socials. There's no be real. You're not putting out what you're up to right now. So I think it's all good.
Later in the episode, he gets mad that they're just like around each other. But like, it's one thing as an adult and like seeing your ex or something, you probably have to like go out of your way to like make an appointment to see them like getting food or, you know, going out to do something together. If you're in high school and you're all students at the same high school, you're going to fucking see each other. And also, Urkel is Laura's neighbor. So they just live near each other. They're probably going to have to see each other because of both of those things. You can't demand that she's just never around this man who's, I mean, for that's beyond all the reasons of like, he's also just like been a fixture in her life for a long time. Like she's. Mm-hmm. She's allowed to, like, have him around. Whatever. Jimmy fucking sucks. piece of shit.
Yes, that is... I wrote that down in my notes. Jimmy, I put Jimmy, and I put sucks in all caps.
There it is.
S-U-X,
I'm holding it up to the screen for proof.
Yeah. Confirmed.
You spelled it right.
It's true. Prom time. I started writing down lyrics to the R&B song that's playing, assuming that it was like the ones playing at the basketball tournament, and nope, turns out
it's real.
Foolish me, if you couldn't tell from the sign behind them that's in between signs about Paris, because the theme is Paris in springtime, and if you couldn't tell from Max saying it immediately after they finished their song, this is Portrait with an exclamation point.
You remember Portrait?
Portrait! All I could think of was Tim Heidecker going, hey, anybody want a free portrait? free portrait! Do you want eyes in your portrait?
Well, you just have one mouth, so I'll just give you one mouth.
Makes sense. So, Portrait, a few rapid-fire fun facts here. One of their members is named Michael Angelo Salisbury, which is very good.
Love
like
it.
That a lot.
Big fan of your steaks.
In the same, it's not spelled like that either, which is weird. They once collaborated in the same song with Quincy Jones, legendary, you know, composer, music man, and frequently referenced on this program artist Babyface. So there's a double Family Matters connection there. Given the context of not even the whole of Family Matters, I'm not even bringing anything. I'm just this episode, because like the whole Paris thing, and like this is we're gonna have to talk about it in a second here.
There's some Eiffel Tower jokes coming up.
Yeah, Portrait too was like when they were at the height of their popularity too. They had. See, I took some notes.
Here we go,
notes. But yeah, they had three albums come out in the 90s. This would be their most successful, their self-titled debut album.
Yep.
Reached number 70 on the Billboard 200, number 16 on the US R&B chart.
Mm-hmm.
So this is they, you know, Family Matters got this group when they were at their peak.
Pretty hot. Now,
pretty hot.
John, since if you have the list there, do you know the name of the album that they put out immediately after being on the television program Family Matters?
I don't have that written down, but I'm going to guess maybe it is.
It's All That Matters.
Family Matters.
It's pretty close. They also, ooh, around this same time, collaborated with a new jack swing. That's like the subgenre of like R&B that they do. So same type of music from a French group called Tribal Jam on their song Je te donne mon cœur. So this is a lot of Paris matters going on around here.
I will also, I'll give them credit every time the show fucking does it. These are live vocals that they got. Yeah. It would have been so much easier to just play a track, but they're doing the good, hard thing, and I appreciate it every time they do it.
Yeah, it is notable that, like, one of the only times where they had, like, people actually singing was just, like, super racist stuff in the karaoke episode. So, like, they have a very bad track record with that. Just have them sing. Just have them sing. You don't need to do the track. One of the portrait members in the Family Matters universe that is canon is Waldo's cousin. But a condition of them playing this high school prom for juniors, let's remember, not even the prestigious high school prom, is that Waldo can never reveal that he's related to them.
Put a thumbtack in that.
Quesadilla. And then yo, 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 the weasel's on the loose. Can't say that. You can't say that in public that way he does. Weasel comes in with Quesadilla, Waldo. Now, Waldo and Max are already there and are dancing. So they did not all come together. They had separate arrangements. Quesadilla, Waldo is played by Tracy Lanier, whose IMDb page includes not only this episode of Family Matters, but... Oh, nope, sorry, I read that wrong. It includes only this episode of Family Matters. It's just that one word messed me up there. Waldo comes over to warn Weasel not to besmirch his sister's honor. And Weasel's like, what happens if I do? Waldo does not have a plan for this situation. He says, I'll get back to you. Which is kind of funny, but also weird. And also she's like, I'm just like a person who can make her own decisions. It's fine. She also just seems totally normal, which is an interesting choice for the show. Like, I think the right choice, but not one I would have expected them to make, I guess. Mm. A girl runs in to say, hey, everybody, Steve Urkel's coming with a date. And I said to myself,
Where have I heard?
Yeah. This seems...
Where have I heard that?
A little familiar to me.
A little bit of deja vu. Is this season 4 or is it some later season? What's happening here?
In that other season where Steve and Laura are hooking up at the prom, even though they're not supposed to do that.
And I said some later season because I don't remember what season it was.
No, that was clear.
I remember
we knew
this happening.
I took notes, but I didn't take that many notes. All right, we got to have somewhere to go to in the future.
I can't sully my entire reputation. I still have to be known as the clueless ones a little bit.
I do not have it pulled up right now, but if I'm remembering correctly, that was like our first interaction with KC, the other cheerleader, who like comes and goes very sporadically. She was the one who announced it in that later episode. In this one, I thought it was just an extra. Turns out it's Gloria, the girl that Eddie has taken to prom, which is wild. Everyone stares as Urkel comes in with a lady, and when Myra kisses Urkel's cheek, they all recoil in horror and disgust, as if he has just been slathered in hot mayo.
Well, no, what it is he has the COVID. So,
oh, sure. So the kissing disease, they call it. At prom, a little later, Portrait is performing a different song. We hear like tiny snippets of three different songs in this episode. This one includes the incredible wordsmithing that they're known for. Yeah, yeah. Oh, no.
Which is it? Make up your mind. Yes or no.
Mixed
I don't
signals
know.
Signals over here.
It is like, I understand the vampingness of it because it's just like a yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, no. And I just, but I mean, it just, you can't put them next to each other. You can't do it. You can't do it.
They need a maybe in there after that.
I'm not sure.
Sometimes.
It's good. We have a good time here.
We have fun. Yeah. Not too much mayo, not too little. Just the right amount.
Just
on your salmon.
Right.
To white it up. Steve is doing finger guns, but not at people, which is like, I feel like the whole point of finger gun is you go, hey, ho, you, and you too. But he's doing it like at the ceiling, away from the whole crowd, because obviously they're on the camera side of the entire dance crowd. You can't have them covered up by people.
That's more of a Yosemite Sam move. You gotta, yeah, you gotta update.
Harriet and Carl come in. I thought to chaperone. Nope. Just hanging out.
This was wild, man. This is fucking crazy behavior.
Having been to any
it's
proms
made
before,
no sense.
I can tell you it doesn't work this way. You can't do this.
No, especially not in a especially not as a cop. You can't
no.
just walk into prom
full uniform.
But that was essential to him getting them in. You know it was, because
oh,
you have to have
yeah,
tickets
yeah, yeah.
to go in there. You can't just walk in off the street. But he was like, there's an emergency. I have to take care of this. I have the mouth cup to put over somebody's face because they fainted after.
I mean, I guess, but wouldn't there be like a, wouldn't there, I know I'm being ridiculous here, but wouldn't there be like an ambulance or a doctor, a nurse? Or
he's doing it bone style.
EMT
he was in the neighborhood. He just pops right on over.
So he got a, but he got a, but there's got to be some sort of 911 call, you know?
He's, the call's coming from inside the prom. He's the one doing it. So they're just here to snap pictures. And Laura's like, no. Waldo and Weasel have a mini scene where Quesadilla says Weasel is a gentleman. And Waldo does his only like just pure fizzle out of the episode and leaves because he can't believe that that's true. Laura says hi to Steve, maybe just to get away from her parents, maybe just to have an excuse to go somewhere else. And Steve says she looks great in her dress. Because it minimizes her butt.
First of all, wild thing to say to any woman at all.
A person, whether you know them or you have never seen them before, you don't do this.
But also,
that's what I'm saying. In the episode with the food fight where Maya was like, oh, you have such a huge ass. And I was like, number one, inaccurate, like crazy to just be saying that about a 16-year-old girl who's on national television if she has like weird feelings about that. But also, it's not a problem. It's not a bad thing to do.
It's that classic, do these make my butt look big? Like now yeah. It's like, do these make my butt look big?
They're not big enough. Never. Baby, let your booty go, as the man said. As he was doing a one-handed cartwheel. How was that? How, he had two things.
One are there was a wires? Butts. What are we doing?
The other was a one-handed cartwheel, and I don't know how he landed on those two. And he, I mean, he, obviously he's saying the Wild Wild West thing too, but we don't talk about that. We don't need to talk.
And also, all those are stolen Stevie Wonder songs. Let's just get
that. Yeah, he
clear.
Just sang that. You could have just sampled it. You could have just used the same. Okay. Jimmy comes over to put a stop to all of their fun so that he and Laura can dance. And Laura says, I can't dance with you because I'm about to break your legs.
That was awesome.
Is it great? I was like, oh, just shit.
So extreme.
She has had it. There's been some arguments they've had that we didn't get to see, because she has had it up to all the way to the tippy top of the wiener with Jimmy over here.
Yeah, I thought she was going to say, because you're not my prom date anymore. But no, she...
I will fucking kill you.
She goes straight for his legs. Oh, no, we physically won't be able to dance because I'm about to fuck your shit up.
How will you make a phone call without any mouth? She says, look, Steve's always treated me with respect, which literally cannot be true. Just 0% chance.
No.
I think, I think at this point, every time he enters the room and she's there, he's calling her sugar toes.
Yeah.
Sugar honey, 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 baby. Byron. I don't know, whatever the hell. Like, he's always got some cringy, creepy pet name for her.
So she does, like you predicted, she's like, we're not at prom together anymore. And in fact, she's not at prom anymore because she just is gonna leave. And then Jimmy goes, oh, come back, and looks like a fool in front of everybody, even though he's, I mean, it is, again, grown ass man, weird, the whole thing's weird.
Do you think Jimmy is friends with the dude that did the drag racing against Steve, and those guys hang out at Astro Burger together? Sorry, this could have been a question corner, I'm now realizing, but
could it really?
I don't know.
You do need a recovering from Laura society. There has to be some sort of support group for all the guys that she goes through on this show. But all of them
deserve it, though.
That's
what
I was going to say.
They had a comment.
That room's going to be miserable. That circle is full of guys who like will not help each other clean up the chairs afterward because they're all just such huge dickheads. A little while later, still in Promland, Urkel is explaining to Myra, confetti, so passe. He was supposed to be doing the confetti here, but no. He realized, all on his own, without anybody having to tell him, that the confetti was going to be a disaster, without him seeing it happen to somebody and it being really bad, he came up with the idea to do a remote control balloon drop. And his remote control's antenna is enormous.
I can't believe, like, there has to come a point where they stop making big dick jokes with this child. When can we do that?
It's one thing to, like, joke about your dick or your friend's dicks in high school and to even, like, but you can't do it on TV. You can be a high schooler making dick jokes. You can't do it as a character on a TV show.
I don't know. Antenna technology has come a long way since the 90s. You needed a lot more antenna to pull this off in the 90s, I think. I think you go to Radio Shack in the 90s, it was big antennas all the time, everywhere, for everything.
Big antennas and uranium. Those were the two things that they had at the Radio Shack.
Now you control everything. You can race an RC car with your phone. You don't need an antenna anymore.
You do it the Mario Karts, and it's a double because it's on the TV and there's a little one right there.
That's a fun thing. I played that at my mom's house. That's fun.
Did you see the TikTok of there's like a bar where a live band will play the music for the Mario Kart level that people are playing on big screen? It's like people are racing in the bar and there's a live band doing all the sounds, and if somebody gets the star, they go
awesome.
Yeah,
until Nintendo sues their ass into oblivion.
It's all parody something. Urkel tells Portrait that they might amount to something someday. They all say hello, and then one of them says, sup. And Urkel goes, aha!
He knew it.
And which one did they choose to be Waldo's cousin? Was it all the ones that were tall?
He's short. He's a little guy.
One short one of the bunch, these motherfuckers.
Nah, but it's cool. You got a speaking line. You got a speaking line out of it, so. He got a speaking line. You guys didn't call me out on that. A speaking line? Of course it's a speaking line. It's a line. You have to speak for it to be. I'm in a speaking part is what I meant.
That's fine. I mean, whatever. You can gesture. That's fine. And he does.
You were holding a pen. I remember.
This man is doing a thing that I don't think like gets done in the same way anymore. In the 90s, in a group, you would have one person who's inexplicably wearing a or two gloves. And he's the gloveman of the portrait. And he puts those gloves to his face to cover up his shame at being attached to the Faldo name.
So you think that they go up on stage before their shows and like, hey, anybody want a free portrait? It's like all cool.
No,
like,
you got to pay for the VIP experience to take a picture.
It is weird that like between their songs, they're just hanging out in the middle of the dance floor. They're just like chilling with the high schoolers. I don't love that.
Yeah, if I were them, I'd be like, I'm too cool for that shit. I'm not. Nope.
We got a green room
up on
or
the
something.
Stage. Then I'm going, yeah, then we're getting the fuck out of here.
Eddie takes the stage to announce the last dance. This is all weird because there's musicians still up there.
Ah, the last dance sponsored by.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Ah, it's your fault. You did this.
I'm reading
sponsored,
the copy.
Sponsored by the last dance. It's available. I don't know if it's even on Netflix anymore, actually. I have no idea. Or a throwback.
If they took it off, wouldn't you take that personally? Would you say that would hurt you? Eddie announces the final caper that everyone is going to take together around the old dance floor. Surprisingly, hands the microphone back to the actual musical act as opposed to trying to serenade everyone with his own vocal skills. Seems like every time Eddie's on the stage, he's trying to hot dog it up there. But he's got to hop down to dance with Gloria, the girl who announced Urkel's arrival. She is played by Tina Thomas, whose IMDb page, this doesn't happen a lot, I don't believe. All right?
Oh!
Because when you have names, especially names that are like shared by multiple people, and you see the like in parentheses Roman numerals after the name and all that stuff, mm-hmm. It's like anybody can just go in and start fucking up an IMDb page. So she's credited as playing a small role in Charmed a few years later, which I do believe. I think that that's totally possible. You could be on Family Matters and then like 3 years later be on Charmed. She's also credited as an alien in Flash Gordon from 1980, and I don't see that unless she was like a little kid, because she seems like the right age here. So there's four things. There's Flash Gordon, Family Matters, Charmed. And then skip to 2022. She's credited as Rebecca in Meat Hook Massacre Next Generation.
I got a couple questions.
I may be able to answer some.
Yeah, so there was, this is like a new version of it. There was another thing called Meat Hook Massacre. And what the hell is that?
Hold on, because I got some answers. But I'm having to do a lot of red string here to put it all into one.
It's a lot of mayo I'm having to buy for this.
Slather it all up there to keep the pictures on the wall. I ran out of thumbtacks, so we got to just stick it up there with egg product.
Yeah, none of that Miracle Whip shit. It's got to be
It's the real thing. The real thing. Somebody named Timothy Thomas is the auteur behind Meat Hook Massacre Next Generation, so it would make sense that Tina Thomas might somehow be in something that Timothy Thomas was behind.
Mm-hmm.
He is also involved in Meat Hook Massacre Mayhem, but that seems to be an in-production sequel to Meat Hook Massacre Next Generation. I couldn't find the original Meat Hook Massacre his listing, so he, I think, is carrying the franchise into a new millennium. Now, Meat Hook Massacre Mayhem stars a differently credited Tina Thomas. So I think that's probably the one that got put on this page. She's a little bit confused, but I want to know her deal because she's also in a movie called Apex Predators 2, The Spawning, where she plays a character named Shark Fuel Scientist. Now, if you have more questions, me fucking too, buddy. Shark Fuel Scientist.
Now, are they giving the fuel to the sharks?
All right, right, right. Or
are they using the sharks for fuel? Or does she get eaten to become fuel for the shark?
Or, here's a fun one, is she a fuel scientist who's a shark?
Or a shark scientist that is... I don't know.
What's the other word? I already lost.
Trying to find the fuel part of
right,
it.
Right, right, right. The biggest name attached to Apex Predators 2, The Spawning, is Vernon Wells, who you probably don't know that name, but you would definitely recognize him as the Mohawk guy from both the Road Warrior and Weird Science, where they just like saw the second Mad Max movie and were like, get that guy in Weird Science and just do the same thing at the party. He also is the main villain, Rancic, in the season of Power Rangers called Power Rangers Time Force, in which they reference his character obliquely by, like, at one point having him wear the same shoulder guards as the friggin' Mad Max character. Wild decision for a children's television program. Power Rangers Time Force, written by and showrun by a guy who's carried the franchise for many years, Judd Chiplin, who got his start in the business writing a little movie you may have heard of earlier this episode called Shoot Fighter.
Hit Fight the to confetti. The death.
Oh my god.
It all comes
oh my
back
god.
Around.
Oh my god, we made it. David, we made it.
We deserve a mayo sandwich now, I think.
That is fucking wild. That is... Look, that's impressive. Absolutely, that is a lot of string or mayo, and that is quite the connection. Color me impressed.
I will. Which is of course white because you're just going to be slathered in condiment.
Could I get some mayo with the burger on the side? Thank you.
There's a non-zero chance this episode could have had the character of Fletcher as played by actor Mayo Whitman. We could have had all this together at one time. They robbed us. All right. In the real show, in Family Matters, I know that was a long shark-filled detour. It's balloon time. Urkel sets off the balloons, and it's pretty normal and underwhelming, much as they often are when you just drop like 18 balloons on top of a crowd of people. And then somehow, because it's Urkel, his thing, his machine on the ceiling, shorts out a nearby light, which then sparks to a nearby fire suppression system, and then the sprinklers all go off, and everybody on this stage and soundstage, including very famous musicians, like people who do not get paid enough for this shit, they're fucking drenched. It's a lot of real water.
It is the most aggressive sprinkler system I have ever seen.
And I mean, not to just be bringing white liquid into everything, but like a classic Hollywood thing is to put milk in water to like a little bit to like make it appear better on camera. Ugh. Like,
well, yes, now it's usually oat milk, but
there you go. You got to watch out for people's sensitivities. So like this could be not just water. It could be something like weirder and grosser that is just like, again, these people are like got to like number 11 on the charts with their fucking huge ass song, and they got to a Spin Doctors level of cultural relevance and they just got fucking douched on Family Matters.
Well, you know, it's a, you say it's an aggressive system, but also not, because I guess you just have the ability to just turn it off.
Yeah,
fucking
I don't think
weagle.
That's how fire sprinklers or suppression systems work. I don't think there's a lever or nozzle or whatever on the ground floor, just on a wall that Carl or somebody else can just go up to and just turn off. I don't think that's how you want to build your fire sprinkler system.
Right. He goes up to a wheel, nozzle, whatever, like you're saying, that's next to a fire hose in the wall, which is fine. I don't have questions about that. But the fact that that wheel doesn't control the hose, which is not involved. There's no water coming out of that. It, in fact, controls the system above and was activated. It wasn't, like, stuck there. He was able to actively turn it off to turn off the water. Yeah, I have questions about the building codes here.
But that also means you could just walk up to it and turn it on
Just anybody.
Any old time you want. Just out in the open, not behind any sort of case or locked door or anything. It's just straight up on the... Could you imagine the amount of mayhem
at a high
that
school?
Would happen in high school, Christ. If you could just go up to the wall and just turn that on any old time you want?
Maybe there's normally a guard there, but Carl came up in his cop uniform. It was like, this is a police emergency. We get Urkel's, "Did I do that?" And everybody at the same time yells yes, and seems fair, because you ought to be mad at him about this.
Yeah.
Because it's 100% his fault, and it fucking sucks. It just ruined prom. I had an okay junior prom, but my date had a very bad junior prom, partially because of my reaction to what happened. But like, we made it all through pictures with family. We made it all through dinner. We all went down, a bunch of us, the carpool down to the convention center downtown, and she was fewer than 5 steps from the entrance to the venue when a drive-by, by which I mean fly-by, very impressive called shot from a bird, just shit right into the middle of her hair.
Man.
That she had painstakingly had done for hours that day. And I thought that was fucking funny as shit. I thought that was a very amusing thing to have happened. And she didn't care for my reaction to it. And that's fair. You're right. I don't think that I did a good thing that day. But she was at least able to go to the bathroom, have some friends go to the bathroom. They fixed the situation there as much as they could. They remedied it. If you're soaked, that's it. You call prom. It's the night's over.
Yeah, and that is not a tux in a day, that is for sure.
Oh yeah, they frown on that. Those are supposed to be dry cleaned, not in the kitchen. Laura is in towels and a robe when Steve comes in to rhyme crime.
Hi, Laura. Still wet, my pet?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't like it.
What?
Also extra bad because, yeah. She says she survived the torrential flooding by climbing atop the Eiffel Tower.
I pray she did not fall off at any point in this ordeal.
No, it's fine. If you fall off the Eiffel Tower, nothing bad happens, is what I learned from that episode. She says that this chain of events could have only happened to Steve. And I, like, yes, in the real world, kind of, but also this seems like something that could have happened in any sitcom and kind of did happen in Carrie. So, like, I don't think that this is a super unique situation to, like, set off the fire sprinklers during a school dance. Steve reports Myra was not upset with him at all, was not unimpressed with him by the end of the evening. And that's fucking crazy. Also, she also got wet like everyone else, so she should be mad about that, I think.
Yeah, it Steve doesn't deserve her, but yeah, it does say a little bit about her as well.
I mean, maybe, you know, things get wet, things cling to you. She got to see what Laura got to see in that shower episode that turned her around on having Steve as a life partner.
His antenna.
It's enormous. Steve thanks Laura for standing up for him. And she was like, no, I did it for me. This guy was like a bad person. And he's like, not because you care about me at all. And even the Chinese episode said, she says, well, and he goes, stop, I'll take it. that's not terrible. Every once in a while, they kind of get these like little cute scenes between them, right? They've done it a couple times recently, and this one also feels kind of nice. Like he says, I mean, I'm pushing it, but like a hug, can I get a hug? And she's like, 2 seconds, and then it lasts longer than that, and then also lasts indefinitely because it goes into freeze frame, and that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
But it's like a borderline nice moment where these two people are like, we're not perfect for each other, but we still like value what the other person brings to the relationship, which is a nice sentiment. I often think about like my dog that way, even though a lot of the time I fucking hate him. Because he's very loud when I'm trying to sleep, and I don't care for that. And he is old and rotting on the inside, and it comes out, and it hurts my ability to ever smell again every time. So
it happens to the best of us every once in a while.
Absolute best
gonna happen.
Now, gentlemen,
please, you have some more notes.
No, but I do have a question corner.
Wait, really?
I have a question.
Are we done with post credit scenes?
I had that.
Are we done with them? This is the second week in a row that there has not been one. Is it becoming a trend? What say you?
There was a short period in one of the seasons, I think it was like 3 or 4 episodes in a row, where we didn't get one. And it felt weird then. So I'm hesitant to say one way or another for sure. I think, though, I mean, it's cheaper, right? At the very least, you kind of want to phase that out because you don't have to like set up for another series of shots, right? So are we heading into the era where like it's more of a treat than an expectation? Maybe. Is that,
I think so.
Is that good for us? Bad for us?
I think because of the money aspect you mentioned there. I think you know, it's a newer show, and I think they're not gonna put the money into it every time.
I wasn't sure until John wiggled his pen again, and now I'm on his side. I don't know whatever he said.
That's right. So what you're saying is when we were doing the bracket, if I had held my pen up
100%,
it would have gone the other way. Well.
What is a pin, if not bones, that you use to point at? I don't know. that's the end of the episode. No Judy of any kind in this one, which is, I feel like
no Rachel.
We should just say it at least. Yeah, they were both in the credits still. They will be, you know, I expect this whole season. But yeah, no presence from them in the episode. I keep getting psyched out on it. It feels the same way that like right at the beginning of our show, right at the end of the show overall, Urkel and Carl had like 4 episodes where they had like a bonding thing that at the end of it, you were like, oh, this is the new Urkel-Carl dynamic. But it kept happening just in case people fucking missed episodes, you know, sitcoms. And I feel that way about like we've had several recently where Laura's like, I kind of don't fucking want Steve to die horribly by falling off the Eiffel Tower. And I'm tired of it, but also it's like occasionally a nice thing, so I feel weird about, I don't know, fucking, that's what this show does to you. It hurts you till you say gimme. Give me some more. More mayo, daddy. I need it. And you can email your homemade mayonnaise recipes to the show. Somebody's got to make it. It doesn't just happen that way.
Yeah, email those nasty ass recipes to jumpingtheshuttle@gmail.com.
We'll try every single one of them.
We will have a taste test. absolutely, we will. That's not gross at all. And the rule is, we can't put it on anything, not on bread, not on any sort of anything. John. We just got to eat it straight out of the jar. Look, I don't make the rules.
What?
Okay, I do.
You have the pen.
Those are the rules. Those are the rules we're going with. But yeah, jumpingtheshuttle@gmail.com.
Oh my God. I wish I hadn't signed myself up for this, but... My name is written on the paper in John's handwriting from the ink that he's using with his hands right now, so I have to believe it's true. Get at us on social media. I have a feeling that any mayo content we put out there is going to be immediately flagged.
Yeah, so you know what? Don't even send it this week. Just don't. It's not worth it to send it. Don't send it at jumpingtheshuttle, or at jumpingtheshuttle. Just don't. Don't do it.
But now people will, the more that you tell them not to.
Hey, don't engage with us on social media. Please don't listen to the show. Don't email us.
Don't like, don't subscribe, don't follow, don't favorite, don't share, don't use our code at the bottom of the podcast episode description.
It's still in there.
Getting ready to smooth your balls, and you use only the finest.
How the fuck is it still in there?
Shaving cream, by which I mean mayonnaise.
What is it doing? What is it doing for us?
Nothing. It's not doing anything for anybody.
I did this. I just got to say this joke. That's worth it. If I have to not think about the ending joke one time out of every 100 episodes, it's worth it to copy paste it every time.